We have our first guest for this hour who is an expert on obviously of whatever we're talking about today on hunger. And this is Tim Previtt, who is the CEO of Hunger Project. With this intro, I would like to welcome Tim. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome to the Drive Time Show.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you for welcoming me.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Tim, what are the current state of maternal malnutrition in the world?
Yeah, thanks for asking. There's a rise in malnutrition, and that rise has come up for the past 4 years, even just before COVID, and then COVID accelerated malnutrition worldwide. So right now, about 60% of people that are living with hunger are women, and we have a total amount of 1 billion adolescent girls and women suffering from malnutrition today. Now, when you look at hunger more broadly, you can see upwards to 2.5 billion people that are struggling to afford a healthy, nutritious diet. And that is just a huge amount of the population. So the numbers are rising to levels that we haven't seen for many, many years, and they seem to be difficult to reverse.
What is the reason why can't we reverse them at the moment?
So there's a number of factors that are coming together. One is financial inflation. And you're seeing many countries around the world where the price of food has just come up substantially and incomes have not risen accordingly. And that's in almost every country in the world. You see that just rising everywhere. We also have more conflict. When you have more conflict, that cuts off supply of food, and it makes it more difficult for people to access food. So those are very big.
And what sort of challenges are mothers facing in maintaining proper nutrition, and how does it affect the children?
Yeah, great question. And again, we're talking about access to food. How do people access to food? And you know, that food price inflation, you know, if the price of food doubles, and it has in many parts of the world, and moms go to the market to buy for their family, they simply buy less food. And so then they have to make some really difficult decision. And what they choose to buy is also really important. Because we have a lot of foods out there on the market that are good at filling bellies, but they don't have the nutrition content we needed. If you look at, say, sub-Saharan Africa, parts of Asia, we have a protein deficit. There's a lot of carbohydrate. It's pretty easy to get, but proteins are not as abundant as they should be. If you look everywhere in the world, the nutrients are in scarce supply, nutrients that are needed for young children to grow and grow up healthy.
And what's the cause of, for those parts of the world not receiving that sort of nutrient, and as you said, not enough receiving proteins as they should be for growth?
Yeah, it's really so when you look at a community that's living in poverty often and with hunger, what you see are you see a daily struggle to get the calories they need, get the nutrients and protein they need. And when it doesn't happen over time, then you get significant health challenges. And the malnourished children, they will do poorly in school. They cannot focus as well. And they also often have, especially if they have malnourishment in the first 1,000 days of life, if they have a real challenge with that, they will grow up with either stunting or wasting. And that is a technical term for either growing up without the proper height or the weight needed to support healthy growth overall. And it impacts everything. It impacts brain development. It impacts the whole child. And so, if the child grows up and then becomes an adult, they have health challenges for life often. And so, what you see is a cycle. And that's like the cycle of hunger and malnutrition and how it goes from one generation to the next. And it can have a devastating impact even on a country's economy, where you have lower productivity, more health care expenses, more health challenges, less days at work, and the like. And I just want to make the point that, you know, there is an outsized impact that this has on women and girls in particular.
Of course. And, you know, Tim, I wanted to ask in regards to, you know, more nutrition especially, is there not something we can do, obviously, especially living in the West and being, you know, having the amenities or the wealth that this, which we have, can we not help out those who are in poor countries or in poor sections of our own country by not funding some, for example, wars or other challenges?
Yeah, great question. You know, for years we have often thought of hunger and poverty as something that we can give away. Like and I think you're in the UK, right? I mean,
yes.
I'm in the West. You know, we have. You know, our economies are rich. We want to say, okay, we can support by giving away food, for example. And, you know, that's a generous position and the kindness to that's really wonderful. And we also know that it doesn't solve the problem in the long term, that it's kind of a Band-Aid solution. And what we all want is for these problems to be solved locally and permanently. And so we see the communities, and at the Hunger Project, we've partnered with many communities around the world to work on this. And we see communities that understand the issue, they get a little bit of knowledge, and then they take action themselves with the resources in their community to solve this problem. And they end up making a more sustainable solutions. And it's a really remarkable thing. I know other groups do this too. For the Hunger Project, we currently have a campaign for mothers and malnourished children. And I'll give you an example. I was in Bangladesh a few months ago, and I saw a community support circle of moms. They had their babies with them, and they were weighing their babies, measuring their babies, and talking about leafy greens and other nutritional support that they could give, again, within their own community, that they could solve by themselves. And that's where we see zero hunger villages. Very exciting.
Interesting. So the main thing is to get the education out there to them so they can sustain themselves over the period of time.
Yeah, that's right. And you'd be surprised. I mean, a lot of times they have knowledge of how to do this. And when the women sit in a circle and they talk about, okay, you know, my child has had diarrhea or has had some coughing and some health issues, and they talk to each other and they are able to determine, like, okay, this child needs to go to a clinic and needs oral rehydration salts.
Mm-hmm.
Or the child really is not that underweight yet and we can take immediate action to help and support, but does not have to go all the way to a distant clinic to get that done. This is in very remote areas, but that's just one example of how the women and the communities help themselves.
Of course. Coming back to the questions again, you know, Tim, how can we ensure then that the nutritional interventions reach, you know, the pregnant or the lactating women in which are in these high risk environments?
Yeah, great. High risk environments present unique challenges. Now, if you're talking about high risk in terms of security, and
yes.
I'm taking care of the Sudan example. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a really big challenge, and you know, a lot we talk a lot about war and conflict, and it's I think all of us are just deeply saddened by what we see going on in the world. And for me personally, what I see is just the likelihood of those cycles of poverty and malnutrition just popping up more and more. And like I said, that's one of the drivers of the big numbers coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? Well, first of all, there are so many other groups that are working, the World Food Program, UNICEF, and many others that are working in war and conflict zones. We at the Hunger Project, we don't work in war and conflict zones. However, those many of the conflicts have come to us. Like, for example, in Burkina Faso, we see more than 2 million people displaced internally by conflict. So we are seeing conflict, but we don't have the expertise of, shall we say, shipping food in. Now, in those moments, yes, we do need to say, okay, food needs to be provided in an aid and emergency relief. And there's been many really great innovations over the past years to deliver high nutrient supplements that do help with the first 1,000 days and are fairly efficiently delivered. It's not enough. The numbers in Sudan particularly are really high, mm-hmm. and we're just seeing too many people that are falling through the cracks.
Of course. And, you know, Tim, before I let you go, last thing, how can the general public be involved somehow in helping to be a part of ending a percentage of world hunger?
Oh, yeah. What a great question. I think, you know, the Hunger Project, we have an office there in the UK, and we do have a current campaign on malnutrition in women. And so, you know, you can click through to our website, thp.org. I would be remiss in saying there are many other groups that do wonderful work, even in communities there in the UK and where I'm at here in New York area. Hunger and malnutrition is all over the world, so we need to take action. And I think the more we educate ourselves, the more we understand the challenges with malnutrition, the better we're able to support change. And as a final note, I think when we look at our food systems more broadly, we live in these advanced industrial food systems with a lot of packaged and highly processed food. I think if I could say buying local, growing local, looking at farmers markets, community-supported agriculture, and some of the foods that can be bought locally, that's a really nice step towards sustainable food systems. And generally, those foods are more nutritious than the packaged goods we see in the shelves of Tesco.
Of course. Thank you so much, Tim, for joining us and enlightening us with your wisdom. And I hope and pray that we are able to somehow have a better society for our next generations to enjoy. Mm. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. I'll join you in that sentiment, sir. Thank you very much for including me in today's program. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye. Peace be upon you.